I want to talk today about the gift of thanksgiving. And I also want to, I'm not sure how to title this, whether I should title this message The Gift of Thanksgiving or whether I should entitle it Suggestion or Direction. But Paul, the apostle, who wrote about half of the New Testament, depending on who you ask and how they number it, number of words versus number of this and books and da-da-da. But he wrote a big chunk of the New Testament, and in his writings, we see what we believe is inspiration by the Holy Spirit. So when you read Paul, I believe that you're reading what the Holy Spirit wants you to know. I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to speak to us through the letters that Paul sent to the different churches and the different believers that he wrote to. And so he gave us what I believe are not just suggestions, but in a lot of cases, some very clear directions. I believe the Holy Spirit has some very valuable things to speak to us through the writings of Paul. Now, I will say this. I don't know that you have to do everything that Paul told you to do. You don't have to do everything. But wouldn't it be a great idea if you could do everything that Paul told you to do? Like, I can't help but think that it would be more than just a little helpful. I kind of think that if we could do what Paul said we ought to do, it seems to me that, well, that we would find value in that, that we would find benefit in that, that we would find good things in that. How many think that's probably correct? If I can do what Paul did, I'm probably going to do pretty well. I think Paul did pretty good. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read a couple of things to you, and I do want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And let me just read a couple of verses to you while you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, and Paul said this, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." So I got to thinking, yeah, you know, if Paul was doing it and I could imitate, sometimes, do you ever feel intimidated a little bit in trying to imitate Christ? Like, Jesus was pretty amazing, and sometimes I don't know that I can feel like I can be that amazing, so maybe I can start a step down, and I can imitate Paul. He also said, by the way, Paul said in Philippians 4:9, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." We've actually mentioned this verse several times this year. I want to have an awareness about me, and I'm trying to learn to have an awareness about me everywhere I go, every day, and everything that I'm doing. I'm trying to keep that awareness that the God of peace is with me. Like, chaos can be going on around me, but I'm walking along with the God of peace. How many of you think the God of peace would affect the chaos? Yeah, I think so. So while some of the stuff that's going on is just like, I don't know where that's going or what that's doing, but I'm really glad that the God of peace is walking with me. And I know, by the way, that he's with me. I know that he's with me all the time. Scripture says he's with you all the time. But it's one thing to kind of acknowledge it, and there's another thing to experience it. And sometimes the lack of experience is kind of because I haven't been thinking about or acknowledging it. I'm not encouraging myself through different things that I do to stay aware. So Paul was saying, you know, the things that I'm doing, the things you see me doing, do those. And I think when we look at the life of Paul and see how he lived and see how he walked and see how he talked and see how he functioned, we can see why when you were around him, you became more aware of the God of peace, because he was constantly aware of the God of peace. He was constantly aware of God's presence. So I want to do the things that Paul did. Now, there's no way I'm going to cover all the things that Paul did today, right? Like, there's a lot of things that I think we could talk about. If I tried to just keep you here all day, we wouldn't cover it. We would just begin to scratch the surface. So I'm going to encourage you to read, you know, Paul's epistles. Read what Paul wrote. Understand who Paul is through those things. But there is the topic of the day, which is Thanksgiving. And I thought to myself, well, what would Paul encourage us to do when it comes to Thanksgiving? And there are probably lots of verses I could use for that. But I want to turn to one that might initially not seem like it's got anything to do with Thanksgiving, and that's the one that I asked you to turn to earlier, Ephesians chapter 6. Look at one verse there for time's sake, chapter 6 and verse 18. And I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And you're thinking to yourself, I didn't see Thanksgiving in there anywhere. But you did. You just maybe don't know it yet. But you will. So first, before I get to the Thanksgiving part of this, is this a suggestion or is this a good piece of direction? He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. I think that's a pretty good piece of direction. And I don't know that I ever quite looked at it this way until just recently. In fact, God woke me up. I went to bed Monday night at 10 o'clock. I was laying down. I laid down. I closed my eyes and I went, bing, and opened up again. Because I was thinking, and I went downstairs, and I was downstairs for about 4 hours. And I just kept writing and working and thinking and reading and processing this thought that I had. So I guess I want to ask this question. Do we think that when we pray on every occasion, do we think that we pray in the Spirit every time? I'm not sure that I was. Maybe you already do. Is there a place for praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers? And is there a place sometimes where you shouldn't pray in the Spirit? And then, of course, somebody might say, well, what do you mean by praying in the Spirit? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because y'all sitting in this room, and probably some of the ones listening or watching via Facebook, you probably think of praying in the Spirit and you think of speaking in tongues. And you connected the two of those. But not everybody does. So is praying in the Spirit the same thing as praying in tongues? And is praying in the Spirit or praying in tongues what Paul was talking about here in, excuse me, in this chapter of Ephesians? Now, if we want to figure that out, maybe we need to look at other places where Paul talks about praying in the Spirit. That would probably work, wouldn't it? So back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We were actually in 1 Corinthians in another spot, but 1 Corinthians 14, we see that Paul says something about praying in the Spirit. If you look at verses 14 and 15 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray also with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." It seems to me that Paul strongly connects praying in the Spirit and even singing in the Spirit with speaking in tongues. Right here. Does that seem pretty clear to the rest of us? Okay. Just in case, I think you probably already had that in mind anyway, but somebody who's watching either live or a little bit later might not have had that same thought. So some people who hear this message might think that Paul is saying that they should do something that's not even possible, praying in tongues with every kind of prayer and every occasion. Is praying in tongues appropriate in every kind of prayer and with every kind of occasion? By the way, there is a verse that talks about praying in tongues under your breath if there's no one there to interpret. I didn't add that, but I just thought of it. I'm reminded of it. So I've done that. Have you ever done that where you're praying and then you know, somebody else is praying and you just pray in the Spirit? I've prayed like that in pastor's meetings where not everybody in the pastor's meeting believed even in the gift of the Spirit and speaking in tongues. So I just quietly pray to myself and to God. Not to myself, pray to God, but pray quietly, as in not like, dear Tim, do something, but to myself, just quietly, in case somebody thinks I'm praying to myself. I don't get good answers when I pray to me. That's just the way it is. So a lot of people have been taught over the years that not all believers can pray in tongues. Because after all, didn't Paul say that not all would pray in tongues? And then they like to quote 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I get it. So I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now, and I'm going to start with verse 27, and I'm going to quote the verse that some people quote. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then help, then guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. So some people read that and they go, see, not everybody does it. Some people, not everybody's an apostle, not everybody's a prophet, not everybody's this, not everybody's that. Well, that's, I understand why they might think that at first. So let me help you with that in case you run into somebody who is thinking that way. This passage is talking to us, not as individuals as much as it is as the body of Christ, as the church. And in fact, if you read the whole of chapter 12, you'll see a discussion about that. Paul's addressing the church, and he's saying what will happen when we gather together. So he starts out saying to the church, you are the body. There's not a singular you here, but a plural you. After all, none of you individually is the body. Like, sometimes it would be handy if I was the body, I was the church. I could be sure that I would show up for church when I thought church should happen that way. I could be sure to have church the way I wanted it, and it would always turn out really good because it would be me having church. Actually, that probably wouldn't work because I'd probably be disappointed in me. So we know that one person doesn't make up the body of Christ. We know that we together make it up. And God is placed in the church, Paul says. Well, in the gathering, these gifts, not everybody functions as a prophetic person or a prophet every time we gather together. Not everybody functions in any one of these positions or places of responsibility when we gather together. Everybody functions differently, and the whole body is edified. That's why it works that way. So we need to understand that Paul is talking about the body, not us as individuals. And by the way, if you go back in this chapter, verses 12 through 21 talks more specifically about that. For time's sake, we won't go there. So when Paul asks the question, do all speak in tongues, he is communicating that when we come together, not everybody should have a word in tongues. In another place in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, and if no one's there to interpret, I mentioned that a minute ago, then just speak quietly. Just tamp it down, but don't stop it. He also says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. So there's a place for a gift of tongues to come forth and it to be manifest and then to be used. Maybe we should see more of that in our own body. We can talk about that in another message. He's communicating the idea that when we come together as a church, not all the manifestations will be done by one person, or one person won't have all the manifestations. But that doesn't mean that all people can't at some point or another work miracles or speak in tongues. Later in chapter 14, Paul speaks to the individual believers, and in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, he speaks in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks exhortation, edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. By the way, that's not a negative thing. It's not a negative thing for you to be built up The word edified literally means to be built up. How many of you think you should be built up? How many think you need to be built? When you come here, I hope that you go out of here built up. I hope that you come here stronger, or I come leave here stronger. I hope you don't come in here and get torn down. I hope you come here and get built up. That's why we meet together. And so it's good for individuals to be built up. And then he says in verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Now, a lot of people read the whole verse and they try to cancel the first half of the verse. But let me just stop at the first half of the verse. I wish you all spoke in tongues. Was that Paul saying that? Yep. Was that the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul saying that? Yep. So Holy Spirit wishes that you all spoke with tongues. That might be uncomfortable for some of us because maybe we haven't spoken with tongues yet. But I can fix that. Oh, yeah. I have fixed it hundreds of times and lots of people. I love praying with people to see the gift of tongues manifest in their lives. We'll talk about that more in a minute. I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Well, think of it this way. It's greater if I have a gift that edifies more people than if I have a gift that only edifies me. However, it doesn't make edifying me a bad gift. If I need build up, if I can build up more people, I do a greater thing. But if I build me up, I do a good thing. It's just not as good as the other thing. It's not as great. And it's hard to do the one without the other. Well said. How many of you know if you're so weak that you can't even stand up, it's hard for you to go help somebody with their problems? So this edification thing is important. We all need build up. So looking at this passage, it's easy to see that Paul is speaking about individual believers because he's talking about the he who, and throughout the context, you can tell that he's speaking to individuals this time. Now, what Paul says is very important here. We are told to desire spiritual gifts. At the end of chapter 12, we were told to desire spiritual gifts, earnestly desire the gifts. And then at the beginning of chapter 14, we're told to desire the gifts. So let me remind you, Paul is speaking by the Spirit. And so I have this simple question. Do you really think that the Holy Spirit would encourage you to desire spiritual gifts that he didn't really want you to have? Yeah. Beg me for that gift of tongues. But no, not for you. For somebody else. Not you. Oh, yeah. Tell me you want that gift of healing. Yeah, not for you. You just get to speak in tongues. That's all you get to do. Prophecy for you and miracles for you and not so much for you. Yeah, we got a sozo for that. I don't think God is going to be negative towards you if you seek his gifts to manifest in your life. And the idea that you can't manifest all the gifts of the Spirit in your life would mean that you have the Spirit limiting what you can do, when the Spirit is not the one who wants to limit things. The Holy Spirit wants to give you all good things. He wants to come. We should come into the fullness of the Spirit. And then some people say, well, yeah, but the gift of tongues is a lesser gift anyway. Well, then that should be easier to get, probably. But that's not even really true. It's not a lesser gift. Prophecy is a better gift, as I mentioned earlier, because of the strengthening of others. But then he goes on to say, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Some versions read then, but rather that you prophesied. And people will read that verse, verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, and they'll go, rather, it'd be better if you prophesied. Instead, prophesy, don't speak with tongues. I just want to tell you something about that Greek word. It means, and even more. It doesn't mean instead of. So if you can speak in tongues and prophesy, that's all the better. Because there are times when one is needed more than the other. You can prophesy the wallpaper off the wall by yourself at home and speak great mysteries into the cosmos by yourself at home. But if no one's there to hear it, nobody's going to get a lot out of it. But if you can if you can speak in tongues and build yourself up and then know by the Spirit when to prophesy to the masses, that's even better. So there's just a timing to this. I don't believe there's any gift that God doesn't want you to have. And I'm going to say this. Some people will think I'm bragging. I don't see it as being braggadocious at all. But I've seen all 9 gifts of the Spirit manifest in my life, especially as needed. It happened to me early on as a young Christian. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit on my 14th birthday and spoke in tongues when that happened. Actually, I could argue that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit on the 7th of February and spoke in tongues on the 11th of February. Because the 7th of February, I went home and I sat on my bed and I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I felt like something happened. But I didn't know what to do with it until Thursday night when I heard some people speaking in tongues. And I thought, I want to check that out. Let's go up there and find out what that is. And they asked me if I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know what I told them? I said, yes. They said, have you spoken in tongues since you were? And I said, no. And they prayed for me, and I did. And then after that, this strange thing started happening. I just started praying in the Spirit a lot, and I started seeing other gifts manifest. By the time I was 15, I was doing tongues and interpretation with prophecy. And I started seeing people that I was praying for have things happen to them. Sometimes it was like a gift came on me. Other times it was just me praying. Either way, God started doing stuff. And there's a lot of you who have experienced this too. And you can. So now, returning to the gifts of tongues, because that's where I'm at today, and you're thinking, yeah, isn't this a Thanksgiving message? I know. We're getting there. Some have suggested that it's a lesser gift, but I think Paul's saying it just has its place. And I need build up. So God does indeed want to use each one of us. And if you're able to pray in the Spirit, I believe it's a great help to you. So now, looking at verses 14 and 15 again, I'm going to add a few more verses to them. Here we go. 14 of chapter 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the Spirit, and I will also pray in my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, Amen, at your giving of thanks? What? Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, in other words, if you're speaking in tongues, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Remember, there's this thing called the interpretation of tongues. And sometimes someone will pray in tongues and someone will interpret that, and other people can stand by and go, amen, because now they know what's being said. But what is being said? At your giving of thanks. Since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well. In other words, if you're speaking in tongues, you give thanks well, but the other's not edified. Now we're back to trying to see how we can take what's happening individually and make it something corporately for everybody to take part of. But he then goes on to say, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. So when Paul was speaking in tongues, he had this crazy idea that he was giving thanks. And he put it in his letter to the Corinthians. I'm not sure we always think of it this way in even Pentecostal or Spirit-filled or, you know, Holy Spirit groups. I don't know that we think of it this way. But do you think of your ability to pray in the Spirit or sing in the Spirit as part of giving thanks? Because it is. In fact, tongues, if you will, is the gift of thanksgiving. Because tongues is giving thanks. And Paul liked to give thanks more than anyone. I think that's pretty cool. He liked to speak in tongues a lot. Do you think if Paul spoke in tongues a lot, it would be good if you spoke in tongues a lot? Just curious. Like, what if we spoke in tongues more? You know, during the Jesus movement, tongues was a big, big deal. And then over the years, you know, we started to have the rise of you know, apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and, you know, stuff started. And tongues kind of was like, yeah, that's the introductory level thing you do. And then, you know, you start to really get these important gifts. And I'm not saying that there isn't a little bit of truth to that, because I think Paul said there was. But when we first got baptized in the Holy Spirit as a bunch of Jesus freaks, we were going around speaking in tongues. And we thought it was pretty cool. And it is actually pretty cool. It's a pretty amazing gift to have. So if Paul spoke in tongues more than y'all, then Paul might have been the most thankful person walking the earth at that time. If tongues is Thanksgiving. But someone will say, oh, well, yeah, but tongues isn't just Thanksgiving. Tongues is a whole different thing. In fact, a lot of people still teach and say that tongues was given on the day of Pentecost because all these people from various nations had gathered and they were all there to, you know, worship at Jerusalem. And when the Holy Spirit fell, they all spoke in tongues, and that way they preached the gospel to all the different people that were there. How many of you know that never happened? A few of you, you've heard me preach this before. And a few of you are thinking, what are you talking about? That did indeed happen. What do you mean? Well, let's look at it. So Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12, long portion of scripture. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were, dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? And then they start to name off the languages, which, take note that there are more languages here than there were the 12 apostles. So the 12 apostles weren't the only ones in the upper room. There were 120. And so there were actually more people speaking in tongues than just the apostles, because some people say that just the apostles got baptized in the Holy Spirit here. That's not what happened. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Proselytes were converts to Judaism. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Note that. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Or in our language today, what's up? What's going on here? They heard them speaking in tongues and they were going, I don't get it. Many have taught that the gospel was being preached, as I already said. But note that all those who gathered were Jews and proselytes, so they all had one language in common, which would have been Hebrew. And note that those who heard were confused by what they heard. In verses 7 and 12, it says that. So if the gospel was being preached in tongues, they should have been going, oh, I get it. This is what, you know, the gospel was sent out through the tongues and the clear declaration of the gospel, but nobody got it. While the tongues was going on, nobody got it. Following this section, in verse 13, Peter gets up and begins to preach, or maybe it's 14. Anyway, Peter gets up, and he likely would have preached in Hebrew to all the people who were there. And he begins to tell them what's going on, what they're seeing, and what it means. And by the time he gets to verse 37, the people who are listening to Peter preaching the gospel, not speaking in tongues, but preaching the gospel, they cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, oh man, now I get it. What do I need to do? Tell me what to do. Because they were cut to the heart, it says. And now we have to do something. What are we going to do? Then Peter told him what to do. Repent and be baptized. And that day, over 3,000 souls were saved. But not from speaking in tongues. Because when they heard them speaking in tongues, they didn't understand it. They just heard the wonderful works of God, but they didn't hear the gospel. So think about the wonderful works of God for a minute. How many of you have read the Psalms? Yeah, me too. The Psalms have some wonderful works of God in it. And every time you're reading about David and he's recounting the wonderful things that God did, the God who split the sea so the children of Israel could walk through it, the God who provided water in the desert, the God who provided manna, the God who did this and the God who did that. And every time he starts recounting the wonderful works of God, you will find him in the thanksgiving mode. He will be giving thanks. He will be worshiping. He will be honoring. So that's why we sing in the Spirit, because it's part of worship. That's why we pray in the Spirit, because it's part of worship. Because thanksgiving is a big part of worship. And we're acknowledging the God who did these great things for us. By the way, you do realize that all the things that God did throughout the Bible were done for us. We may not have been there when they walked through the sea that split, but it was done for us. Because God knew we were coming down the road. And he was preparing everything for us. Because he loved us from the foundation of the world. So I have to ask myself, what would change if I started praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, with all prayers, and on all occasions? Now, I'm not sure yet whether I'll get to the point where when I gather with a group of people, maybe if it's the right group, and we decide to sit down for lunch, and we all could join hands, and we could pray. Maybe we don't join hands right now. But maybe we could all pray. What if we all prayed in the Spirit when we sat down to our meal, along with that other prayer that we sometimes remember to say? I mean, that we always remember to say. What if I just started praying in the Spirit more often? Some of you know I've got a little app on my phone, and it's supposed to tell you to take a drink of water every so often. But I've been trying to let the app go off, and then it reminds me to just thank God. And so I've been doing that for several years, and I just thank God. And it hit me the other day. While I'm thanking God, what if I prayed in the Spirit every time my app went off? What if I began to pray in the Spirit a lot? What would happen to me? What would happen to you? What would happen to you if every time you had a chance, you started praying in the Spirit? What would happen to you if while you're vacuuming at home, you were just praying in the Spirit? By the way, one of my favorite stories was this girl that I knew really well. Her mom was prayed for the Holy Spirit, and she only had all she could say that night was Abba, 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 and she wasn't even sure whether she was making that up or not. But that's what she did, and they said, just keep doing that. So she was at home one day vacuuming, and she was Abba, 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 and all of a sudden she just took off in tongues. She started with what she had, and she just kept. She kept going, and all of a sudden it became this amazing flow of the prayer language in her life. Is it possible that adding praying in the Spirit to all of our prayers might indeed help us to better imitate Paul? Would you like to better imitate Paul? I would. I think he did a pretty good job. If I could get to that level, you'll think a lot of me. Like, yeah, I wish you could get there, Pastor. I do too. It would be a good thing if I could get to that level of where the Apostle Paul was. So if I imitate him by going after the gift of the Spirit and letting the gift of the Spirit flow out of my life, then all of a sudden I've increased my thanksgiving. If I've increased my thanksgiving, then I can count on the God of peace to walk with me. The more aware I am of him, the more thanks I give to him, you know, we could get to the point where you guys are some of the craziest people on the planet. Because everywhere you're at, you just season it with praying in the Spirit. So you go to work, and maybe you are working with a bunch of people, but you get a second to go into a side closet to grab a broom. And you go in and you just speak in tongues. Maybe you've got an office and everything around you in the office complex is making you a little crazy. Go in your office and speak in tongues. I'm not preaching at my wife or anything right now. Sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, honey, we find out that, yeah, she's done that before. Sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, we figure out what we're doing wrong so we can go out and fix it. So you're just saying. So, you know, here's the thing. If we learn to remember to pray in the Spirit and we add praying in the Spirit to all kinds of prayers on all kinds of occasions, then we have a lifestyle of thanksgiving. We have a lifestyle of letting the Spirit move, and that brings us into a place where we walk more powerfully with God. And Paul said he spoke in tongues more than y'all. So if you could speak in tongues as much as Paul, I wonder what that would do to you. Like, you'd be the Arnold Paul Schwarzenegger of spiritual strong people. War. What if the Holy Spirit bump you up? Yeah. What if the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen us and build us up more than we even realize? What if there's the, and by the way, I know for some of you, you don't use your tongue as much as me, so your tongue will get very tired very fast. Mine, no problem. I can speak in tongues and my physically, it won't, you know, there'll be nothing holding me back. I can speak in tongues a lot. Nothing will hold me back. As I mentioned, I have prayed for hundreds to receive the Holy Spirit. And I've never had anybody that I prayed for to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, as some people. Those terminologies are just, they make me a little crazy. I was raised Assembly of God, and some people still think you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit. I think you have to have the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. I think everybody who's born again has the Holy Spirit, therefore everybody can speak in tongues. And you're saying, well, yeah, but sometimes it just doesn't manifest itself. I have prayed for that manifestation in the lives of literally hundreds of people, and I've never had anybody take more than 3 days to get it, for it to manifest. Most people, the moment I pray for them, that time when I lay hands on them, they receive it. You say, are you bragging again? No, I just help them. I give them a little instruction that helps them understand, and they get it. It's really fun. You could do that too, but we're not going to teach on that today. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. But if you want to learn how to do that, I can teach you to teach somebody, or I can teach you to what to teach somebody to help them be in a place where they can receive it in just a few minutes. I will say this, though. I've also had occasion to teach what I'm teaching right now. And in a time of praise and worship, the people who heard this message because they believed in their heart and understood that the gift of tongues was theirs, that they could ask God for it, that he wouldn't be angry that they were asking for it, that he wouldn't be refusing to give it to them. And then during praise and worship or something like that, or they just went home without even telling me they needed prayed for. And it just happened. We've had several people have it happen. I remember one young lady was right over here. And it just happened. She just, during praise and worship, she just started going. So sometimes you can have your prayer language activated just by singing in the Spirit. As you're worshiping, then you start singing, and then you're released into it. It's awesome. Again, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. It isn't just a suggestion. It's a clear direction. And when we do this, this direction can lead us into so many good things that God has for us. It's for our empowering. And in a time like we're living in right now, where there's a lot of fear, just running amok, fear and uncertainty everywhere around us, There are people who are full of fear and uncertainty. Is there a better time for us to pray in the Spirit? Because sometimes I see people and I don't know what to pray for them. I'm like, I don't have a clue how to pray for you. And so I just pray in the Spirit. And as I pray in the Spirit, sometimes the Spirit gives me direction. Sometimes I get a little loud. Sometimes I'm pretty quiet. Just praying, thanking God, and loving on Him. So I want to encourage you. Be the one who prays in the Spirit. Be the one who prays in tongues. And in so doing, add thanksgiving into your thanksgiving in this Thanksgiving season. Amen? I want to pray for everybody, especially those who might be listening to this message. So, where you can, put your hand on your heart. I thank you, Father, that there is nothing special in me that releases this gift of tongues into anybody else. I don't have anything except your Spirit. And that is what releases this gift into anybody's life. I pray for all those who have your Spirit. They would recognize that the gifts are part of your Spirit. That recognition that the gifts are part of your Spirit would give us all a desire to see your gifts more manifest in our lives than ever before. And I pray specifically and strongly that anybody who hears this message and anybody who hears this prayer will have their spirit, man, stirred up as the Holy Spirit stirs up their spirit. And I pray that they will find that no gift is withheld from them. Indeed, you want to pour out your Spirit on us, and you want to fill us with gifts, and you want our gifts to be used in your body, and you want to edify others and edify us and build up every single one. So I just speak the release of the gift of tongues into every heart that hears this message. If they've already got it, Lord, I pray that there will be an increase. For those who have spoken in tongues for years, I pray that there will be a marked change in that praying in the Spirit, that they will be able to note and know as we lift our voices in another language that you've given to us by your Spirit. And I pray for those who never have, that they will not be afraid, that they will not be in doubt, that they will not be frustrated by things that they heard in the past, but they will be brought in to the fullness of everything you have for them, and that we will become a people who on all occasions with all kinds of prayers are able to pray in the Spirit, adding thanksgiving, adding worship, adding your presence and power to everything that we say and do. Release it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.